worship with our call to worship, which is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Shout for joy to the Lord our God, who loves us with an everlasting love, as a father loves his children, who gathers us together from the north and the south, the east and the west, who leads us beside quiet streams and shows us the way we should go. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Scripture lesson this morning, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 33, be read by Deacon Audrey England.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning.
The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Thus in the readings of the word, thanks be to God.
Amen. Some first graders were asked to draw a picture of God in their Sunday school class. Their finished products, some show some interesting theology. One child depicted God in the form of a brightly colored rainbow. Another presented God as an old man coming out of the clouds. An intense little boy drew God with a remarkable resemblance to Superman. The best entry, however, came from a little girl. She said, "I don't know what God looked like, so I just drew a picture of my daddy." Today is Father's Day. It is our most fervent prayer that when our boys and girls look at their fathers, they see God's love reflected in their father's eyes. Of course, not every dad is great. In fact, dads don't get enough credit in our society nowadays. I read about a guy who stopped at the grocery store on the way home from work to pick up a couple of items. He wandered around aimlessly for a while, searching out the needed groceries. And as it used to be, before we had one-way aisles in the grocery store, you know, if somebody started on one side and you started on another, you would end up passing that person, maybe several times as you went up and down the aisles. Well, this is how it was in this case. He kept passing the same shopper in almost every aisle. It was another father trying to shop with a totally, totally uncooperative three-year-old boy in his cart. The first time they passed, the three-year-old was asking over and over for a candy bar. Our guy couldn't hear the entire conversation. He just heard Dad say, "Now, Billy, this won't take long." And they passed as they passed in the next aisle, the three-year-old, his pleas were increased. Several octaves. Now Dad was quietly saying, "Billy, just calm down. We will be done in a minute." When they passed near the dairy case, the kid was screaming uncontrollably. Dad was still keeping his cool. In a very low voice, he was saying, "Billy, settle down. We're almost out of here." The dad and his son reached the checkout counter just ahead of our observer. He still gave no evidence of losing control. The boy was screaming and kicking. Dad was very calmly saying over and over, "Billy, we will be in the car in just a minute, and then everything will be okay." The bystander was impressed beyond words. After paying for his groceries, he hurried to catch up with this amazing example of patience, an amazing example of self-control. He got to him just in time to hear the father saying, "Billy, we're done. It's going to be okay." He tapped the patient father on the shoulder and said, "Sir, I couldn't help but watch how you handled little Billy. You were amazing." And the father replied, "Oh, his name is Wesley. I'm Billy." It's not always easy to be a dad, but we know that we have some wonderful fathers in our church families, both here at PCT and at United. And we give God thanks for them. In today's lesson from Matthew's Gospel, verses 29 and 31, Jesus says something remarkable about his dad. After all, that's what he called his heavenly father, Abba. which is father in an intimate and personal way. To some, that's like saying daddy. Christ is sending his 12 disciples out into the world where he knows they will experience not only opposition, but persecution as well. He gives them these instructions. So do not be afraid, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. Nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then he adds these beautiful words of comfort. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We've heard those words so many times that we probably have lost a sense of how amazing they are. But think about it. There may be millions of sparrows in the world. The sparrow is such a common bird and so numerous that often it's considered a pest. But sparrows can be found nearly everywhere on earth. From New Delhi, India, to Santiago, Chile, from London, England, to Sydney, Australia. They are indeed everywhere. Some studies indicate that due to climate change, there are fewer sparrows than there used to be. In fact, a survey published last fall in the journal Science reported that there are nearly 3 billion, yes, I said billion with a B, 3 billion less birds altogether than there were half a century ago, probably for a variety of reasons. So we live in a complicated environment. Among those most threatened, according to the survey, are sparrows. Yet the number of sparrows in the world is still staggering. Now think about Christ's statement. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unless your Father, or fall outside your Father's care. Could God possibly care that much about one tiny sparrow among the millions that fill the sky? And think of this, his second statement, and even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Now, some of us don't have as much hair as we once did. We won't get into that. That's a whole nother story. But Jesus is saying that God's knowledge of each of us is so extensive, or should we say intensive, that God knows every hair on our head. That's amazing. We know God is capable of such love because we see love reflected in his son, Jesus. God loved him so much that when he was baptized, he came from the sky, a voice came from the sky and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." We see such love reflected in Jesus Christ. For Christ loved in a way that no human being could love. The great church father and philosopher and theologian, St. Augustine, once observed that Jesus loved each one he ever met as if they were none other, as if there were no other ones to love in the world. At the same time, St. Augustine noted that Jesus loved all of us as he loved each. So he describes an intense love for the individual, but a collective love that is just as profound and intense. That's a love that you and I cannot quite comprehend, for we can only imagine what that means. So we can only give God thanks for it. Then Christ added these beautiful words. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That's assurance. Don't be afraid. The master was dealing with the subject of fear as he often did. His disciples would be facing situations in which genuine fear was certainly appropriate. They would suffer much in the coming days. But his words were also meant for us. In fact, he's really quite extraordinary as he speaks to us. And it's extraordinary how often in the New Testament we read the words similar to what he's saying here. Don't be afraid. Or either you'll read the words, fear not. Or you'll read the words, let not your hearts be troubled. Over and over again, we are told not to be afraid. Christ knew what a problem fear is. There was an amusing incident in Oregon a while back in which deputies received a 911 call from a home for a burglary in progress. It seemed that a woman was reported that a stranger was in her bathroom and that the stranger had the bathroom door locked. She said she could see shadows moving down the door. Within minutes, several deputies surrounded her home. They called for a canine unit. They said they could hear a rustling noise coming from the bathroom. And you know what it was, don't you? After calling to the suspect several times over a loudspeaker, deputies went into the home with their guns drawn. After forcing open the bathroom door, deputies found the villain. As he entered the home, he could hear rustling in the bathroom. The Washington County Sheriff's Deputy Rogers wrote in his report of the incident, "We made several announcements and the rustling became more frequent. We breached the bathroom door and encountered a very thorough vacuuming job being done by a Rombo robotic vacuum cleaner. No burglar, just a very conscientious Rombo," and I guess you pronounce it Rombo or Roombo, Roomba, "doing his job." That reminds me of once when I had a home in the basement, I heard a noise in my basement, and it was so loud it kept hitting the door. So I called a friend who I knew was a hunter, and he came over in full garb with his .22 rifle. Let him go down in the basement, and he came back up. It turned out it was a bird that had crawled through the furnace and was in the basement flying around. Now, I had a dog at that time, and me and my dog, you know, we had looked in, but my dog was too afraid to charge down there. In fact, my dog was hiding behind my leg. So when I called Billy to come over, and he came with full gear and boots, and I laughed. I said, "Why are you so dressed?" He said, "I don't know what it is. It might be something that would bite me." But it turned out to just be a bird. And here was the same case with this woman. It was a Roomba vacuum cleaner that she heard. No word on whether deputies filed charges on this incident, said a local reporter, but the suspect's record appears to be clean. No pun intended. Of course, fear has a way of playing havoc with our imagination, whether it's a Roomba vacuum cleaner or a bird that's gotten loose in our basement. It's ironic. In most places today in our society, crime is down, but fear is up. And fear can make people act irrational ways. Fear gets a hold on us, and even when we know it doesn't make sense, we can't shake the apprehension that something bad is going to happen to us. And sometimes our response is tragic. More than half a century ago, Alfred Hitchcock's classic horror film, you know the film, Psycho, burst on the movie scene with its infamous shower scene. Behind that iconic shower curtain was the late Janet Lee. Her attacker was played by Anthony Perkins, according to an interview Lee did with the New York Times before her death. She said the scene had such a dramatic effect on her that she was afraid of taking showers after she did the movie, even though she knew that it was a movie, even though she had participated in it. She would take baths after that because that scene had such an effect on her. And she said, when I take my baths, I leave the bathroom door and shower curtain open. I'm always facing the door, watching, no matter where the shower head is. Fear. What a tyrant it can be. How much misery it can bring into our lives. Human beings seem to be uniquely susceptible to blowing fearful situations completely out of proportion and making it a real threat. This is to say that even in situations where fear is perfectly appropriate, we would do better if we learn to manage it. Fear, which is after all a survival mechanism, can sometimes actually impair our response to the event causing our fear. So Christ says to us, don't be afraid. God knows every sparrow that falls from the sky, and you are worth more than many sparrows. Let me suggest a couple of ways that God can help us to manage our fears. First of all, in any difficult situation, it helps to know that we're not alone. Marcus Bales, in his book titled Speak Confident, a collection of stories and advice on overcoming social anxiety, tells about a viral video that made its rounds not too long ago. It featured an autistic boy singing Let It Go. It's a song from the movie Frozen. And it's on the school's, he was in the school's talent show. Not an easy feat for anyone, says Marcus Bales, let alone someone with autism. About 30 seconds into the song, however, it became evident that the young man's nerves were starting to kick in. He starts to forget some of the lyrics. This is a treacherous moment for any performer. This is the point at which your imagination creates all kinds of negative thoughts about what will happen next. Then something surprising happened. The crowd began to sing along. Their participation was soft at first, but it continued to increase in volume as he continued to sing. Then, as the young man with autism sensed the support of the audience, he begins to sing with more confidence. And says Marcus Bales, before you know it, the whole crowd is singing and clapping along, encouraging him. Finally, he finished the songs, standing proudly to a roar of applause. Fear comes from a runaway imagination, and the consequences of falling are usually not as severe as the imagination. People use a phrase nowadays that's quite reassuring. The phrase is, it's all good. In fact, that phrase has gotten so popular that it has recently been chosen by the National Basketball Association as its official slogan. Some people trace the origins of the phrase, it's all good, to rap performance in the 1990s, where it was featured in several recordings. But in reality, you can trace it all the way back to the writer of Genesis, when he says God looked out over the world he had created and declared, it's all good. If we could just believe that life is ultimately all good because God is in charge of everything, and our lives would be so much less complicated. Fear would no longer be an obstacle. And why is it all good? For the believer, it's because a loving God never lets his eye turn away from us. It's all good. We can relax and be at our best, confident that he is in charge. We are not alone. It's all good because the the parent, the father, our heavenly daddy is near. Wrapped in God's love, we can walk confidently into any situation. Wes Humble, a pastor in Grainville, Ohio, tells about a woman who was going through some of very difficult situations, and it was just a trying time for her. There were serious problems in her marriage as well as her job. She was so lonely, dejected, and isolated that it seemed pointless to try to keep going on. She tried everything she knew to get to better her situation, but nothing seemed to work. In fact, things invariably seemed to grow worse. She was so low, so depressed, she was convinced that she would never again experience joy in her life. However, one day, when she was sitting in her kitchen, weeping her heart out, and she noted a small sparrow. The sparrow had somehow flew into her kitchen. That's such an unusual experience that a believing heart might wonder if God has a message or something with this little sparrow flying into her kitchen. Anyway, she opened the door thinking the sparrow would simply fly out. But that's not what happened. You see, there was a window over that door, and the sparrow kept trying to fly out of that window. And the glass was closed. It kept bumping itself into that window. And each time it did, it got weaker and weaker. At one point, it was almost even with the door. But still, the sparrow kept trying to fly up and fly out of that window. Finally, it hit itself against the window so many times that it was so weak, it fell on the floor. And when it fell on the floor, the sparrow simply walked out of the door to freedom. It's a story with a happy ending, isn't it? When it could no longer fly, the sparrow simply walked out of the door to freedom. Says Pastor Humble, it was as though God literally opened this woman's spiritual eyes. She realized in just about every area of her life, she had been behaving like that sparrow trying to fly out of that closed window. She was trying in her own way to get out of confining situations that she was in, each time being knocked down. She was trying to reform her family, knocked down. She was trying to better herself on her job, but she was knocked down. She was trying to get revenge against persons who had done her harm, but she was knocked down. She was trying to get ahead by putting others down, but she was knocked down. She was trying to get back evil for evil, but she was knocked down. She finally realized that she had to do just what that sparrow did, to very humbly walk in the power of God's grace and mercy and allow God to work her heartaches out and the difficulties. And that's what comes, the message that comes to us. Do not be afraid. You are more than the sparrow. Just as God's eye is on the sparrow, God's eye is on each one of us. That's the song we sing, isn't it? His eye is on the sparrow. So do not fear, do not be afraid, for Daddy, our heavenly Daddy, is near. That's the message Christ gave, and that's the message that each of us should accept in our own lives. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. We thank Mr. Jeremy Watson, who will come to us with a solo. It was a request for this day that Order My Steps be sung as we think about fathers, but as we think about our own lives, let us remember that our strength, our help, our hope comes from God and God alone. Mr. Jeremy Watson, Order My Steps. Thank you.
steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. Humbly I ask thee, teach me your will. While you are working, helping me still. Satan is busy, God is real. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy. I want to walk worthy according to your will. Please order my steps, Lord. And now give your blessed will. The world is ever changing. But you are still the same. If you order my steps, I'll praise your name. Order my steps in your word. Order my talk in your word.
Amen. We told you each day we are getting more technically astute, and Mr. Watson was able to, with the help of our director, Ms. Heather Bennett, was able to produce a recording for us to use this morning. We thank you. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds for our time of prayer. And as we do each Sunday, we ask those who are collecting information from their various care groups or from their church to share a prayer concern or their prayer concerns this morning. So we begin with Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan of United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First of all, I'm bringing a concerned turn to joy, because Mr. Alonzo Moody, who's uncle to Elder Micheline Moody, was hospitalized on Friday, this past Friday, but he was discharged on Saturday in good condition. So that is actually, more joy now than concern. We continue to pray for his continuous recovery and for the entire Moody family as well. I'd also like to say special happy Father's Day greetings to all the fathers and father figures, those who can hear me and those outside of the reach of my voice. Happy Father's Day.
Amen.
And lastly, special greetings today to all the members of United Presbyterian Church. We know we're not able to see your face each week, but you're always in our hearts. on your prayers. So special greetings today to you also.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elder Harrison Butts, do you have any concerns to share?
Good morning. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I spoke to all of my folks and they're doing well. So that's the joy that I have to share this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Elder England.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads and caregivers. From Care Group 3, we don't have any concerns. I would like to share some good news. Audrey and I have just celebrated our 21st anniversary. We was married at the Presbyterian Church on June 18, 1999. We are so thankful, and we give God all the glory for that.
Amen. I wouldn't have, I didn't know you were that old. My goodness. We celebrate with you as well. Congratulations. Elder Chang Soon.
Yes, good morning to all those wonderful dads out there, and happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. May you have a blessed, safe, and wonderful day.
Thank you.
I did contact the Beans family, and the update is basically about the same about when you had sent out that text, Pastor. She is still in Holy Name, Mrs. Bean, that is. They're still doing further tests. But after that, she'll be in rehab for about 2 weeks, either between Holy Name and Care One, right there in Teaneck.
Okay.
As for the rest of the folks, everybody's doing well.
All right. We thank you. And that's Mrs. Winifred Bean, 99 years old and still kicking strong. So we continue to pray for her as she deals with some heart issues. Elder Fredericks.
Good morning, church family. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And my care group, I have no concerns for my prayer group today. However, I do have concerns from the LeConte family, as my good friend of many years. Her mother is going through some stages of Alzheimer's, becoming a little bit difficult for her to keep up with it. And her daughter, too, has some issues, so she's part of the sandwich generation. And we wish, I hope that she's able to continue to receive God's blessings. Otherwise, I have only heard that people are rebounding and getting used to getting back into the world, so we'll keep them in our prayers. Thank you. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Thank you. Elder Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to everyone, including single mothers who stand in that gap in many situations. I would like to just remind everyone to focus also on our continuing prayer list, because we don't really talk about that much anymore, but that's still a concern. One such person that I spoke to yesterday was Mrs. Gwen Acree. We had a delightful but short conversation, and it really warmed my heart to just hear her voice, and she sounded very bubbly, so I just wanted to share that. Sister Mary Coleman's nephew, Daniel Cunningham, was hospitalized a few days ago. They're not sure what's going on, but last report was that he's resting comfortably. He lives in Middlesex County, and so they don't know if it was related to COVID or whatever, but at this point, I would just say that we lift up the Cunningham and Coleman family. And also, you recall a few weeks ago, Carl Peter's mom had passed. She was laid to rest this past Friday, so we continue to lift up the Peter family, at this time. And that's all I have.
Thank you so much. Elder Adapo.
Good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures.
Good morning.
This time I do not have any concerns, but I'm grateful that slowly we're all, everything is opening back, and we hope that it's successful. Prayers for, opening prayers for everyone.
Amen. Thank you. And so to each of those who have been named and those who have not been named, we lift you up in prayer. To those who are in our hearts, those who are in our minds, and those who are in our homes, we lift you up in prayer. Let us, the people of God, join together in prayer. Our gracious and wonderfully creating and creative God, we gaze into the face of an infant and we are awed by your handiwork. We gaze into the face of your creation in stunning landscapes in the heavens above and in the moral law within. And we are awed by your handiwork. Oh God, as Nicodemus came to you in the night to find you, we come in the dark night of our souls to seek your light. In our darkness, we offer to you the burdens of our heart, the secret fears, the toxic shame, the compulsion to puff ourselves up, that desire that we have to manipulate things to our advantage. Lord, we bring that all and lay it at your feet. We come to you in the night, O God, because we know that you are light and that you are love. We come to meet you because you have promised that if we seek you out, if we try to follow Jesus, and if we are open to the direction of your Holy Spirit, we will be born from above and become new people. We offer over to you this day the prayers of our hearts, the joys, the sorrows, the sadness, and the hopes, trusting that you will enfold all of these into your healing care. On this Father's Day, we especially thank you for the gift of our fathers, whether we know them or whether they are strangers to us, whether they are no longer with us in this life, or whether we are planning to spend time with them this afternoon. We thank you for their strength. We thank you for their weakness. We thank you for their love, and we will never forget them. Oh God, you know the concerns of the world. You know the broken places where your creation has been spoiled by war, by violence, by injustice, by hatred, by hunger, and by need. We lift up these places to you, trusting that through us and through your people everywhere, peace will be found. Justice will be done, and your freedom will be known. We pray these prayers and all those left unspoken in our hearts. In the name of the one who told us of God's love, in the name of the one who came among us to set us free, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray together the common prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I fear?
Why should the shadows?
Why should the shadows? Why should my heart feel lonely
and long
for heaven when Jesus is my portion,
a constant,
a blessed friend is he.
His
eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing, he knows I'm happy. I sing, he calls free, his eyes on the sky, and I know he watches. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fear, though by the path he led, what looks at me I see.
His eyes on the sparrow.
His eyes on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. His eyes on the sparrow. And I know he watches me.
And I sing because I'm happy.
And I sing
because
I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. It's his eyes
on the sparrow.
And I know he watches. His eye is on the sparrow, and his eye is on each of us. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Let the people of God say, Amen. Thank you.
Invite you, if you wish, to unmute yourself if you want to send a shout out to anyone on the screen. We also do a quick announcement for Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. We will have a congregational meeting next week, and so we will send you information on that later. That will be different than our congregation, our worship service.
Congregation report.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and happy Father's Day.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. Nice to see you.
Hi, good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day. Miss you.
Happy Father's Day.
Congratulations, Mel and Audrey. Happy anniversary.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. Happy Father's Day.
Anniversary, England family.
Yes.
Happy anniversary.
Happy Father's Day, everyone. James, Charles, Ed. And Ed.
Hey, Charles. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Isaac Buffy, looking kind of cool.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
For those in Teaneck, remember that we're supposed to be out at 7:30 making noise. To celebrate graduates. Did you all get that message?
No.
Okay, no. I guess I'll be out there by myself then.
Where?
Outside your house, just making noise like they
call
me. Stay, everyone.
Hi, Joyce. That's the tape.
Enjoy your Father's Day.
Thank you.
Everyone. All right. Yes. If you don't hear anybody making noise, then don't join. But if you do, that's what it is.
Okay. I did say Bruce.
All right. Take care then.
Pastor Tate,
did you see
we have a Native American as moderator of the General Assembly?
Yes, we are. We are trying to do different things. We see what that is. Yes.
That's
and
great.
So for those who are following, our General Assembly started, what was it, yesterday?
Yesterday.
And so you can go online and pick up news of our General Assembly that's being done virtually.
Right. And Herbert Nelson's doing a second term.
Yes. He's one of my junior classmates. So, we're very proud of him as the head of the program agency. All right, then. Peace be with you all.
And also with you.
And
Mel and Audrey, we love you.
I'm good.
Thank you, Ms. Gillespie.
Marion?
Yes, Joyce. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
Okay. Can't complain.
Good.